suckler herd actually dropped by 43,000 in 2020, and the dairy herd grew by over 36,000. So while we're talking about having a debate about what size the national herd should be, we should be having a debate about what should be in the national herd, and we should be looking at what is more sustainable. And for me, it's quite clear that the suckler herd is actually far more sustainable. It's done in a far more extensive way. It requires far less imports than the dairy herd, or in the case of intensive beef, it requires far less imports. We import 5.1 million tons of feed into this country every year, and 2.7 million tons of that is GM. And to be quite honest, if we want to, going forward, promote Irish beef and to show that it's sustainable, we cannot continue to import feed in this in these quantities, because at the end of the day, it's like this: if you're baking a cake and you're claiming it's Irish, and if you import the flour and you import the eggs and you import all the ingredients and then you bake it and claim it's Irish, well, to be quite honest, I don't think that's really very clearly Irish. And what we should be doing is what we produce in this country, whether it be feed or whether it be the animals we produce from that feed, they should all be produced in Ireland. And that would be far more sustainable, because at the moment we have a situation whereby we have rainforests being cut down so that this feed can be grown. We have a situation also, a bizarre situation, whereby we're talking about cutting the national herd while at the same time the European Union is trying to do a trade deal with Mercosur, which will actually bring in even less sustainable beef into the country. So,
and one of the things the IFA and other farm organisations are saying is, how can the EU tell us that we have to make cuts when the EU still goes ahead with Mercosur?
Yeah, well, there's a point in that, but we can't go ahead with Mercosur. But at the same time, we've also got to do things in a more sustainable manner in this country. But if you were to actually just listen to the news at the moment about CAP, you'd swear it was going to be a total and utter nightmare for farmers. But it depends what part of the country you're looking at. And if you look at County Donegal, the minimum that Donegal farmers will benefit between now and 2026 is by 40 million euros. It could be as high as 70 million euros. So if this is done right, it can be of great benefit, not only to the farmers of Donegal, because remember, when farmers get money, they do not leave it in their pockets. They go out and they spend it with carpenters, hairdressers, mechanics, and money goes out into the community. So when we talk about 40 million or as high as 70 million, it ends up in everyone's pockets at the end of the day. And that includes radio stations that need advertisers and advertisers that need business in order to function. So this will benefit everyone if it's done in the right way. And we hear about these eco schemes, and we hear about how 25% of the money is going to be spent on eco schemes, and we hear some people complaining about this. But the reality is, a county like Donegal that already farms in a very, very sustainable and extensive way on the whole will actually benefit from these eco schemes. Things like top-ups for non-productive areas, extensive livestock production, planting of native trees, limiting chemical nitrogen. These all play into what Donegal farmers already do. And it has to be said, like, over 80% of farmers in Donegal will benefit, will gain from this new CAP. And some people say, well, what's the point in having an MEP? In fact, I had a headline written about me in my first few months as an MEP. What's the point of an MEP? Well, I know now exactly what the point of an MEP is, because it's because of an amendment that I put down on convergence, which will narrow the gap between poorer and richer farmers, that Donegal will now gain a minimum of tens of millions of euro between now and 2026. So when we're having the debate on CAP and we're having the debate on climate change, I think we need to be more honest about it. And when we talk about the national herd, we need to look at different sectors and work out which are the more sustainable. And to me, at the moment, by far the most sustainable is the suckler sector, which bizarrely is being incentivised to reduce, while at the same time we have this country fighting against the idea of reducing the dairy herd.
Now, the perception is going to be that the suckler herd is very much made up of smaller farmers in counties like Donegal, whereas the dairy herd is mainly made up of larger farmers in the more southern and eastern counties, and they're the one ultimately who tend to hold more political sway.
That has been the case in the past, and that is the reason why I put down the amendment that I did, and it basically tied Minister McConnell's hands. He now has no choice but to go to 85% convergence. And I remember at the time the debate was going on the trialogues, and Minister McConnell said, well, he didn't want to have his hands tied. I said at the time that we should actually tie his hands, because when they aren't tied, he always goes for the minimum. And even the proposals that have been put out now of 85%, which would benefit Donegal to the tunes of tens of millions of euro, that is the minimum that he is allowed to do. So even though the minister is from Donegal, it would benefit Donegal and would benefit smaller farmers, he's still only doing the minimum. But the reality is Donegal farmers will benefit from this cap. And when you hear about protests going on about how it's going to be so terrible, those protests are being driven by farmers who at the moment get the lion's share of the money for not actually doing any more of the work.